The Scriptures. The Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his disciples this question: "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some John the Baptizer, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." "And you," he went on to say, "who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You're the Messiah." Then he strictly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man had to suffer much, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be put to death, and rise 3 days later. He said this quite openly. Peter then took him aside and began to remonstrate with him. At this, he turned around and, eyeing the disciples, reprimanded Peter in turn, "Get out of my sight, you Satan. You are not judging by God's standard, but by man's." Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he realizes that he needs to tell his disciples much more about who he is. The notion of a Messiah that would suffer is foreign to the accepted understanding of what the Messiah would be like according to the tradition of the Second Temple at Jerusalem. On this journey, they will stop at the Mount of Transfiguration, where a further revelation will be imprinted on the memory of the disciples. The problem is that the Messiah will be understood only according to contemporary needs, that a Savior would stand against the oppression of the Roman power and lead the people to political freedom and worldly triumph. Isn't this a constant temptation for other historical circumstances? To diminish the message of God by too simple a reference to current needs. The disciples need to know what kind of Messiah Jesus is. The idea of a suffering Messiah is very far from their expectations. This is played out in the dialogue with Peter, where Jesus, in no uncertain terms, challenges his notion of what the Messiah would be. A suffering Messiah reverses the disciples and the common expectation of what a Savior would be. This sort of Messiah is much closer to our own condition, and perhaps that's the key for our reflection on today's reading. I have a close friend who at one time had a disabled child, and he was very concerned about amassing some money to secure the future of that child when he might be gone. As a result, he very aggressively played the stock market, even to the extent of keeping a beeper on his belt in case he needed to contact his agent. This was before cell phones. It turns out that this sort of investment scheme, playing the hedges, selling and buying stock on the expectation that the market would rise or fall, allows one to make money whether the market goes up or down. Unfortunately, it's very much like gambling. The risk can be extreme, the consequences devastating. I find this example might be helpful as we approach our Messiah today in prayer, and we'd be able to relate to him not only the good times, but some of the negative times as well. The suffering Messiah. It seems I can identify with Jesus even in some of the bad times. But this applies not only to suffering. I can enrich my dialogue with God, my prayer life, not only in the thankful times of success, but also even in the more numerous times when my life is locked in compromise or unfulfilled desire. I can be thankful to God that even in failure and frustration, I've been able to desire some of the right things. My desire for an effective church in a world of indifference. My yearning for social justice amid the noisy conflict of selfishness. My longing for friendship in a climate that does not encourage faithfulness. My hunger for peace in a world that fragments and races beyond any human control. The desire itself may become my bridge to God. Sometimes it's difficult to name our longing. But how much more effective our prayer can be when we enter it at the threshold of such wordless desire. We explore the bewilderment of Jesus before his role as a suffering Messiah. we bring the full compassion of God to bear on the mystery of our needs. But don't be in too much of a hurry even to name our desires. The presence of God is the important thing. And to allow God to enter these unfinished areas of our longing is to benefit most fully from a Messiah who truly has shared our human condition. Even emptiness may yield mysteriously to thanksgiving.